you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Yeah, it is Sixers Talk brought to you by Wilmington University. Wilmu Works. Once again, we are with you and so proud and happy to be here. Danny Pommels, our boy slash AKA Ben Berry, producer, co-host. He does it all. We appreciate you joining us once again because Sixers fodder is always primed and ready to go as we may be zeroing in on a coach. Our boy, Johnny Airport, Airport Johnny, John Clark with the scoop on not only Doc Rivers arriving via plane, looked like a PJ private jet that he hopped off of on the tarmac, but also leaving this morning as we're taping the podcast here in the afternoon to head back after reportedly, according to Jason Dumas of Kron in San Francisco, who has a lot of Philly ties, went to Malvern Prep, a good friend of mine. Well, my boy, he said that Doc Rivers watched the NBA Finals with the Sixers brass. So that report was out there as well. So that's a lot more love than all these other, you know, Billy Donovan, Ime Udoka, if you really want to throw his name in there. Who am I thinking of? Billy Donovan and Tyronn Lue and Mike D'Antoni were able to get. What do you make of this? Are you comfortable with Doc Rivers as possibly the guy fresh off a 3-1 loss where he couldn't make it to the finals with the Clippers, is able to coach the 76ers? How do you feel about it?
Danny, remember last pod or last week, we started the episode and you said the head coaching search. I found it to be a farce and I went on that long rant. Not a minute long. Doc got let go late last week or in the past 5 days or so. And he became a front runner. We all knew that Brett was going to be gone throughout the suspension of the season. If they didn't reach at least the Eastern Conference Finals, he was going to be out. All the coaching candidates have been people that have been fired or let go from previous jobs for the most part, except Ime and Tyler.
Well, Ime wasn't even a candidate, so you can't even include him. He was not rumored to be up for the job or had interviewed or anything. The only people we heard about are those four people I named, Donovan, D'Antoni, Lue, and Doc.
So the Ime thing has usually been people from the city wanting to stay in the house. So Doc Rivers, cool. He became a candidate as soon as he became on the market. So that all tells me the Sixers had no one else in mind.
Like they just go for the shiny thing.
Yeah. Maybe Ty Lue, since he was an assistant coach, and he probably should have been a head coach this past year. But, okay, they had no one else in mind. All right, let's go to Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers won a ring 12 years ago. It was 2008, that first year with the Boston Big Three, Boston Tea Party, whatever they called themselves. Before they made that trade, Paul Pierce was going to leave in free agency. Because he wasn't a fan of how Doc ran things, and he had been there for a handful of years, and it just wasn't happening. Doc gets credited with that NBA Finals championship. They won because of their defense, and Tom Thibodeau was the assistant coach that coached the defense that brought that game plan that made it really work. They won one ring. I'll say that again. They probably should have won more, but some injuries and something that doesn't get talked about – because it was a problem with the Sixers this past year, is locker room chemistry. That Boston team had locker room chemistry issues. So after that first ring, I think they tried to run it back one or two more times. Ray Allen did. And we have seen, it's been played out publicly on television, on social media, that there's still some ill will between all those. Okay, the coach can't handle all that. He goes to the Clippers now. He coaches Lob City, one of more entertaining teams in the past 25 years. Incredible. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Them, the Warriors, you got to be right up there. Yeah.
Never made it out of the second round. For the longest time, I call Chris Paul CP2 because he never made it out of the second round, never got to the third. And I'll call him CP2 to 6 weeks. If he comes here and he hears that, he's probably going to try to find me. CP2 to 6 weeks. But in those teams, you know what they had? Locker room issues. I know Chris Paul is hard to deal with. I've never heard a previous teammate say anything positive about being his teammate, but he was the coach at that time. It was one of the reasons DeAndre Jordan, that whole fiasco in free agency when they locked him into this house so he could sign with the Mavs. So they trade Blake away. CP3 leaves in free agency. They let DeAndre Jordan walk or trade it. Don't remember. He's non-essential. Make moves, create cap space so they can sign Kawhi and make a big move for PG. What have we heard since the end of their season? There was locker room problems. Players didn't like the preferred treatment of Kawhi and Paul George. Well, more Paul George. They understood why Kawhi got it. He's proven he can win. He's a 2-time final champion, 2-time finals MVP. Lou Williams, Patrick Beverly, Morris, and the rest of those dudes is like, yo, you're just like us. You haven't done anything in this league. You haven't even made the finals. This is a consistent theme that follows him from team to team. I'm not saying he isn't worth an interview. I'm not saying he shouldn't get the job. I think it proves to my point that the Sixers had no real view, no real plan as a replacement for the head coach.
Yeah, man, you dragged Doc there. I mean, how many times did he lose 3-1 leads in the playoffs?
It's happened 7 times. He's done it 3.
Lord have mercy. This most recent one in the bubble, you know, Denver just had a little bit of that destiny all over him with the way Jamal Murray was playing. I don't know. I'm trying to forgive him of his sins a little bit here. But, I mean, number one, you can't really hide from it. I mean, it is what it is. And if you can't hide from his fallacies, I have to agree with you, can't hide from the Sixers' fallacies and how – or shortcomings in how they went about this process. And, you know, I've talked about it time and time again. You know, if Doc Rivers and these guys are at the front of your coaching search, who was on the list before they became available on the market? You know, even Ty Lue. You know, the memes and all the rhetoric is everywhere on social media with people, you know, saying putting Doc Rivers' face on Allen Iverson's body with the step over, saying Ty Lue got stepped over again. I have to believe, though, if these two gentlemen who are, you know, NBA veteran players and have the respect for each other in that regard, coached on the same staff, they have to be talking to each other about what opened, you know, the Clippers situation, the Sixers situation. You know, if Ty Lue is moving up the bench to lead the Clippers, if he doesn't get the Sixers job, I'm sure he would gain a lot of insight from Doc Rivers on what exactly, you know, how he should move, what his experiences has been. And if Lue really wanted the Sixers job, he would probably tell Doc, you know, hey, can you take a step back? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like there has to be some communication from them that we're not hearing about or don't know about. They know each other. I'm sure they, you know, hey, here's what happened when they interview me. Here's what happened when I interview with them. That talk has to be going on. So and what that talk does to me is put the Sixers at a disadvantage because they don't have leverage or negotiating power or anything because these two guys are bouncing all of the information off of each other.
So what you said is true. Not cut you off. Bounce information off each other. Because when I've applied for jobs, when friends apply for jobs, and we apply for
something. It's logical, right?
We talk about it. Yeah, like, best of luck to you, best of luck to me. But, like, yo, we both want this, but we definitely talk about it. Like, hey, that's what they asked me. I don't know if they'll do this to you. They ask very specific questions. I can't come back to the accountability. Well, several things. Because I didn't get touched the Doc Rivers as the X's and O's coach. Mm-hmm. I gave Thibs the credit for the Celtics defense. Mm-hmm. Offensively, there's nothing that stands out. So he's not – and I know you don't think D'Antoni is a genius, but he's not the offensive mind that D'Antoni or Lou is. I think Lou is a
good offensive
coach.
He definitely is innovative, but I just don't see the genius.
Okay, offensive innovator.
Right.
Doc isn't that. There's nothing that makes me think he has anything to bring to the offense over Lou or Dan and Tony. When it comes to adjustments, we see in the playoffs year after year, he can't make in-game adjustments or in-series adjustments. And if the problem with the Sixers this year were accountability, which is what nearly every player said on their exit interview or after they lost, why would you bring Doc in?
Well, let's think about this too. I need to do a little research, but I want to see where Elton Brand and Doc Rivers' paths have crossed along the way. Because once again, Elton Brand is leading this coaching search and the front office has not been addressed in any way that we know. So if Elton Brand's leading the coaching search and we've seen his pre-existing relationship with Al Horford come to fruition as it pertains to how the 76ers' money is spent, how they decide to make moves in free agency. So he brings in someone he was on the Atlanta Hawks bench with, Al Horford, and he ends up getting a lion's share of the Sixers' free agency dollars. So where his allegiances lie could influence how the Sixers hired his head coach. So I need to do a little more research in that regard. But I think that when I look at Elton and Doc, and like, he's tying his future to whoever this guy is. He's already been like navigating troubled waters with all that's going on with the Sixers team and how these pieces don't fit. And the roster is looking like dreck. So he's going to have to make this a splat. He has to make sure this is rock solid, particularly pertaining to his future with the organization, because he's not going to be able to be forgiven of sins like that, you know, once again, and especially in short order, because this window is quickly closing as it pertains to the salary cap and these marquee players that are on the roster. So I think if I'm Elton Brand and I look at the choices that are available, it has to be between Ty Lue and Doc Rivers for me, because I want the playoff success and experience that they bring as opposed to Mike D'Antoni. And if I'm really breaking it down, I'm looking at Doc Rivers, D'Antoni, and Lou, and I personally would choose Lou because of the youth and the fact that he also has won. Like, he and Doc Rivers have the same amount of championships. Like, and Lou has been doing it a lot less time as a lot less failure under his belt. So
Lou is an underrated, underappreciated offensive, like, creative. He gets creative with the offense. He is tactical, his ability to make adjustments. He also commands the respect of the room. I know he gets a lot of joke for the AI stuff.
I think all three of those candidates would command the respect of the room. D'Antoni, you know, could be hit or miss because he hasn't quite reached that apex of the NBA. But I think they all would command respect.
I don't know if Doc commands the respect of the room. Like, I think we like to believe that, but, like, if these – accountability and, like, locker room issues keep coming up, I'm not so sure of that. And then with the cap situation the Sixers are and only going to get deeper into, Doc, when he was with the Clippers, he was also the GM. He had say-so in trades and who to bring in.
I don't know if he had the full GM title. He might have had some type of player personnel responsibilities or something like that, but –
I know he brought in a bunch of ex-players from the Celtics, and they became the L.A. Celtics for a minute, and he just brought in a bunch of Wash players to play for.
You know, they signed his son. Like, that was something that's unprecedented. That has really never happened in the NBA before, having your son as a marquee role player on the team.
Because he wasn't highly regarded
at the time when he came to the Clippers. Wasn't highly regarded.
If he didn't do that, he would have went home and he would have heard it from his wife. I'm not married. I'm sure that's how things go. Like, yo, why isn't our baby playing? Like, and that just doesn't seem fun.
How about this, though, real quick, before we transition? Do you feel like there's any validity to D'Antoni, who is a sweetheart of ownership? We know that. Is there any validity to James Harden, you know, D'Antoni selling the Sixers on James Harden being something he could entice that, like, does that give him any edge or leverage over these other two guys who we think are the front runners, Lou and Doc?
I say no, and here's why. Okay. It goes back to one of the first things I said on this pod and the previous pod. Front office don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they're doing. So I don't think anyone has a real leg up, a real advantage or anything to say, hey, I can do this that the other guys don't, because the front office all want different things. It's like a kid in a candy store. Like, oh, I want that, that, and that. It's not a – there's not a goal. There's not a plan.
Hey, dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. There's a local university that's ready to bring your dreams into reach. It's Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates to reach new heights in your field. WilmU Works. Find out why at wilmu.edu. You know, it's weird because on the heels of this whole coaching search, we had this little tidbit that leaked out there that Joel Embiid had endorsed the idea of Mike D'Antoni being the head coach because it would, you know, we talked about in the last pod, get him out of the post. He would be more on the outside. And that was something Keith Pompey brought to us from one of his articles. But the Ben Simmons not having any say in that also spoke volumes, and he wasn't mentioned in the article. And you haven't heard his name mentioned regarding any of the candidates and how, you know, what these coaching candidates would bring to the team and how they would use Ben or his value or any of that, especially considering the third team all NBA selection, first team all defense. You would think that that would be, you know, something, you know, people would, you know, it would increase Ben's profile, even though he did get hurt at the end of the season. Do you feel like there's any issues going on there? I think on the outside of all that, in my mind, the fact that they need to reshape the roster and how these pieces can be moved around in order to be, you know, maximize what the Sixers can do next season is always in the back of my mind. So does that mean the new coach likes Ben at the point or at the four or setting screens like we had seen him at the end of last season? Like, what does that mean exactly, end of the season?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You see what I'm saying?
The whole roster construction makes everything tricky. We touched on it, but we didn't get into it. Where does Ben play moving forward? Like,
I like Ben at the four. I like him at the four, point forward, LeBron style.
So, like, there's so many things that go into it, and they're not a natural fit. Some of these articles that come out clearly leave Ben Simmons out of, like, any future details about the team or what we expect to see from in the future of the team.
It's so just not prominent. It's just not prominent. Yeah, you think you would, like, see more?
If someone or something is a part of what you're building, you're going to mention it when talking about building it. Like, it's eye-opening. It's jarring for Ben not to be mentioned in those things. So, and I will, in press conferences and interviews, they're very complimentary of each other. It doesn't mean like it's always going to work. If you watch One Magic Thing, the ESPN 30 for 30 with Shaq and Penny, like, they got along, but you also saw, like, it was not created by each other, but who is, like, who's the man, or, like, who should they build around moving forward? And Shaq left, and sometimes those things just happen.
What do you believe? Do you think there's issues with Ben and Joel? Do you feel like everything that you've read and seen and their interactions, do you feel like there's something there?
I think there are issues, but for different reasons. Since they both have a glaring hole, although they're top 20 players, they both have a glaring hole.
What are those? Are the jump shot with Ben, and what would Joel's be?
It's unwillingness to shoot with Ben and Joel just not being in shape.
I thought you were going to say conditioning, but.
Yeah, conditioning. Yeah. So if one of them speaks up and says something to the other, it's like, yo, what you mean I need to get in shape? Why aren't you working on your jump shot? Like, you can at least take the shot. What you mean I need to shoot? You're not in shape. We just have 5 months off and you're tired and we've only been out here for 20 minutes. So I think, like, things like that play a role, because And it's not that NBA players have egos. People have egos. Everyone has an ego, a little pride to them. So since it doesn't seem to be an adult in the room, or this past season there was, but that adult didn't show up in the playoffs, or those two adults didn't show up in the playoffs, it's hard for me to believe that any of them were taking direction. Either one of them are taking direction from anybody right now instead of doing their own thing.
I mean, I know, you know, if Ben's 24, Joel's 26, I think that obviously factors into, you know, any relationship or dichotomy they have. Like,
right.
They're both alphas, but Joel's older, so that automatically makes him more like the big brother, or
and like more outspoken and louder. So
and he has more of the weight of the organization as well, because he's been here longer. The expectations have been high for him longer than they had been for Ben. So I think Ben gets to not necessarily hide, but gets to play out of Joel's shadow sometimes, meaning that Joel is like the first one to get a microphone in his face or ask pertinent questions, where Ben might have time to think about it before he gets the answer. You know what I'm saying? So now that we had this report, you got to take all things into consideration. You know, some things, you know, you have guys, particularly Brett Brown, talking about the 102 players he's coached while he was here. You have people come in and give little snapshots of the organization, insight here and there, their experiences and things like that. Jahlil Okafor and his dad, Michael Carter Williams and his family. You hear things after people leave and have experienced the process and things like that. Most recently, Jimmy Butler, obviously we see him in the NBA Finals with the Heat, doing what the Sixers would love for him to do. Jimmy saying in a recent press conference that he felt like a part of the difference between what he experienced with the Sixers and what his experience with the Heat is that with Miami, he's getting to be himself. He also, apparently, according to Zach Harper with The Athletic, he felt like Ben Simmons wasn't on the same mental level as him and Joel Embiid, and questioned Simmons' mental makeup when it came to, you know, just being as determined and forthright and dominating as possible. Do you feel like there was a rift already with Joe and Ben before that issue happened? Or do you feel like that helped create the rift? Like Joel sees Jimmy and is like more, you know, validated in his work ethic and helps him and uses that to excel even more. Whereas Ben and Jimmy didn't quite vibe. So that also created more of a rift between Joel and Ben.
I don't know if there was a rift beforehand. I know people speculated it for several reasons. The process being the era of Sixers basketball is turned into Joel's nickname, him calling himself the process, him the best player on the team, like self-made announcements like that. I don't know either one of these guys personally, so I can just assume with humans, pride and ego come in the way. And if Danny was out here, if you were out here, yeah, man, I'm the reason the pod goes, things like that. I can either let it slide or I can be like, yeah, whatever, man. me too or whatever. But, like, things like that happen. It might sound silly, but it happens. And also, they're 26 and 24 years old. They're they're within 5 years removed from college if they went for 4 years and got out. And since they just fast-track life, didn't spend those 4 years growing up or whatever – a college student is the most – you can't count on a college student. They're not that far removed from it. So when I think of egos and things playing out, I definitely think it plays a role. I don't know if there was a rift beforehand. I could picture one happening. If there's a rift, I am certain the Jimmy Butler aspect, fast forward that whole process of it being created.
Now, according to Harper, Ben – Jimmy also said that he didn't like the hierarchy of the Sixers organization. Now that I can definitely now, you know, Butler has denied some of these things, saying he gets along with Joel and Ben and he talks to those guys and there's no issues, but we continue to hear these little things trickle out. So if you're Butler and you don't like the organization and you feel like Jimmy Butler isn't, I mean, Ben Simmons isn't on par with you, there's no reason to even, and not even the fact that the Brett Brown and him having a rift or whatever that may have been, you add that all up, you have no reason to see, not understand why he left. I think when I look at the Ben stuff and I think, like, what could he mean by Ben wasn't on par with them mentally? Like, what does that even mean? So does that mean Ben cares more about his own, you know, image and appearance as opposed to, like, getting the dirty work done with basketball or concentrating on his game? Like, go ahead.
That theory that he doesn't want to shoot the ball because he doesn't want to look bad. I'm sure you've heard it before. He doesn't want to look
bad. Oh, no. We talked about it a thousand times. Yeah.
So I don't think
Jimmy is very conscious of controlling his image and who has access to him and what pictures and videos and things get out about him. So, yeah, absolutely.
I don't think Jimmy is built to care what other people thinks about him, like, in the sense that he's not Kobe Bryant. I think Jimmy carries himself like Kobe Bryant did. First one in, last one out, working hard. Jimmy just seems like somebody, he wants someone to work hard to be the best they can be. You don't have to be on my level. Just prove to me that you're working to be the best you can be. So I know when we go into these games, I can count on you. Kobe Bryant, it was in his first playoff series. Don't remember the first game, but they were down. Three, all right, they were down. He came down and shot 2 3-pointers, airballed both of them. That did not deter him from keep shooting. Jimmy is built like that. Like, I missed the last shot, I'm going to make the next one. Like, if it's ugly, but we get it done, that's all that matters. I don't have to be the man for us to get it done. I don't need to drop 50 points. I don't have to play that much. If we can win, that's all that matters. And I'm going to do the best I can do to win. And he wants people like that around him. That's why when he was in Chicago, there was that falling out. Why he was in Minnesota, that falling out. Seemed to be the same. That played the reason why there was that falling out last year here in Philadelphia.
I think Jimmy, like, you know, he's the type of guy who's like, he's going to play the game to a certain extent, but he's always going to try to do what makes him feel best. So if that means calling out the coach, calling out other players, you know, I'll fall in line and you know, kind of, you know, run the offense and you know, let the game come to me. But at the same time, I'm still going to assert myself. And if the Sixers let him walk instead of letting Brett Brown walk or however that went down, that was like a mistake that they'll never live down because of the fact that Brett Brown's gone and the Sixers organization is in the state that it's in. And they need a player exactly like Jimmy Butler. Plus they traded all those pieces away to get him. So it just will be a colossal cloud over the organization, let alone if he wins a championship, which it doesn't look like he's going to do, which we'll talk about in a minute, the way the Lakers did their thing against them. But I think I'm saying all that to say, I feel like if Ben wasn't on the level Jimmy Butler thought that he should be on and Joel was, then it's Joel's responsibility that when Jimmy leaves to make sure Ben gets to that level. If you're going to be the big brother and the process and all those things, that leadership comes with that. And the leadership that he needs to exude at this point in time is making sure that Ben, if he wasn't on the level that he should have been and committed, that he is that way now and will continue to be that way.
I don't disagree with that. There's no guarantee it'll work because I'm sure they look at each other like I'm on the same level, so you probably can't tell me anything.
At Nissan, we just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever with our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. The choice is yours. Now get great offers across our full line. Shop at your local Nissan store today at NissanUSA.com. The NBA Finals have begun, and for the 37th year now, the 76ers are not winning a title. They're not in the finals, bro. 83 is the last time.
Par for the course. He's used to it at this point.
So we 19 years removed from a finals berth, 37 years from a championship, 19 years removed from a finals berth. And here we are 19 years removed from a finals berth with the possibility of hiring a player that was on the winning team with Ty Lue. So, wow. Jimmy Butler wasn't looking so good, bro. And the his team wasn't in game one of the finals. They got roughed up by LeBron and them, who it seemed like their philosophy was to make sure that Jimmy was feeling the heat, that Bam wasn't getting nothing, and that all of those young shooters, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, felt the pressure of the moment. That's what I saw. And LeBron and experience rang true, man. So is this looking like anything more to you than Jimmy Butler, you know, willing these guys, helping them get to the finals, and that being the end of his championship run?
Well, there's several things to it. The usually whoever has the better two players, that team usually wins. The Lakers have the better two players than LeBron.
True.
And they did, without a doubt. The Lakers defense played a lot better last night than I could have ever imagined, because it's been bad all postseason. I would not bet on the Heat shooting that poor from the field for the rest of the series.
So are you saying Heat and six, Ben? Is that what you're saying?
You want me to say Heat and six?
I'm asking, are you saying Heat and six?
Heat and six.
What in the heat world? And six. You'll say anything.
I won't say anything. I speak from conviction. You know I've been on – I'm not a Heat fan, but I told y'all how good they were a year ago. And y'all told me I didn't know what I was talking about. That's crazy.
They were fifth seed. No one expected the fifth seed to get all the way to the NBA Finals. Like, come on, bro. Get out of here. Put your hand down.
I told you they were better than Milwaukee. I told you they were better than the Raptors. And
you know what? We've made several bets. I never hear you putting the money up on that one.
Do we got to call Huddy up? He will tell you. So, no, I've been vocal on it. So – The Lakers, they have the better two players. Usually the better two players win. What I took notice was the Heat's defense didn't hold up, because the Lakers, they played the Rockets, the Nuggets, and the Trailblazers. Three teams that aren't good defensively in these bubble playoffs. I thought the Heat's defense would be better than what it was, but it wasn't. So the Lakers came out and beat the bricks off of them.
So what does Jimmy Butler have up his sleeve that's just going to be so much different in game two? Let's not even forget about the other three games you think they're going to win. What are they going to do in game two that's going to help them get to the winner's circle?
The defense won't collapse. They'll shoot better. The Dragic injury, who really knows that? He have a bunch of players interchangeable. Someone can play big minutes game one. That person can be on the bench. Dragic, that's me. I believe he spent the last 8 minutes.
He's been a big piece of their playoff success. So
yeah,
you can't undervalue that. He wasn't off the bench.
In game six, I think he spent like the last 8 minutes on the bench. It's like really weird. So they got Dragic, Hero. Duncan Robinson has been shooting the ball well, or was shooting the ball well. Kendrick Nunn came off the bench and played well in game one of the finals.
You can't tell me. Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, and Tyler Hero are all neophytes in this NBA game. You can't tell me those three dudes wet behind the ears about to beat LeBron and AD.
Yo, I just told you the Lakers have the better two players. Like, just thinking the Lakers, that's chalk. That's easy. That's some guts, some cojones. I don't know if I should say that on the pod.
You said it.
I went with the Heat. I've been telling people all year how good the Heat are. They need to stop underrating them. It will be interesting to see how healthy Bam is moving forward. I think the Heat are undersized, and that will work against them. But the Heat aren't getting swept. I think they're going to put up more of a fight than the Nuggets, the Rockets, and the Blazers.
Most impressive thing about this is the LeBron being back in the championship for the 10th time for me. The Jimmy Butler storyline is getting kind of old for me, because It's not happening
Someone's
for the Sixers.
Still bitter.
I'm just
bitter,
tired of hearing about bitter. It. But LeBron, you know, the one thing that bugs me is that the people always try to tout his finals record. Like, yeah, he's making 10 finals appearances, and that is impressive. But if you only won 3 out of 6 appearances, 4 out of 10, that's still not good enough. I mean, yeah, you know, if you're trying to compare him like greatest of all time, what'd you say?
Not good enough for what?
For the GOAT conversation is what I'm trying to say. You know, they try to compare him to Mike and, you know, all that stuff, and Kareem and Bill Russell. Like, all, you know, the final success is just – it's not good enough for me. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And 3 out of 10 times you win a championship and you lose 6 of them so far. Maybe – I guess we'll give them this one. Let's just say 4 out of 10.
Oh, that is so you, insane.
Bro,
That argument.
You're impressed just because he got there?
No, I'm not impressed. It takes a complete team to win a championship. A complete team. Not 2 really good players, then 10 below average players. Not what he drug to the final in 07 on that Cavs team. Not what a wash Dwayne Wade that last year in Miami. It takes a complete team to win a championship.
If you get there, then you should have enough of a team to have a chance to win.
So you think that 07 Cavs team was enough of a team to win?
I'm saying that if you can be part of a team that can come back from down 3-1, then yeah. if you can go down 3-1 against anyone, against one of the greatest teams in NBA history, and come back and win, then any team that you're on has a chance to win.
So that team had Kyrie Irving, who is phenomenal with the ball.
That was the only second fiddle he had, and he hit the biggest shot of the tournament.
What's your point about that? I mean, LeBron got to make the game-winning shot too?
He had the block that set it up. Look, so
he had Kyrie. He had a healthy Kevin Love that year. It takes a complete team to win a championship. You can be a great player if you don't have a complete role.
So you forgive his finals record then? Forgive it. It doesn't mean
it is what it is. Like, because under your argument, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are 2 of the top 20 players in the NBA. Would you agree on that? 2 of the top 20?
Yeah, top 20.
All right. They should 25. They should have made it to the finals by now.
Nah, they're young, man.
They should have made it by the finals. They should have carried the rest of the team. It takes a complete team to win.
They can't even stay healthy. So they can't even – LeBron – that's the thing with LeBron is he stayed healthy enough through all these seasons and the USA basketball and all that stuff to carry 10 teams to the championship. Not carry, but be on 10 teams that have reached the finals.
Carry.
You've only won 3, maybe 4 of them. Okay.
It takes a complete team. It takes a good coach. It takes role players knowing their role. Takes J.R. Smith not putting the ball back, knowing when to shoot the ball, know what the score is.
Mercy.
I'm still shocked he's alive. It takes a complete team.
And LeBron
win.
Brought him back. Come join me on this Lakers team and get another title. Let me see something competitive the rest of the way.
No, before you keep going. LeBron has gotten J.R. Smith to bring. If the Lakers win again, he would have gotten J.R. Smith 2 rings and Dion Waiters 1 ring. Kobe, MJ, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain has never done that. They've never had a knucklehead on their team that they got a ring.
I'm sure they did, but I got to stop you at the Dion Waiters thing, because no one is getting Dion Waiters a ring except Dion Waiters, because he spent so much time on the Heat this season that he'll get a ring from either team, whoever wins.
Yo, Pat Riley is not giving him no ring.
He does. The Heat do have to agree to give him the ring. But Pat Riley, bro, there's no way he would be that petty to hold it against a dude who's almost a 10-year vet. How many rings does he already have? He's going to say no. You have to choose to say no that he does not get a ring.
It was just last year that Pat Riley was MF and Danny Ainge up and down the reports.
That's not petty.
Yo,
that's front office to front office. Now you talking about a player, somebody who might not ever have another chance to win a title, and you want to be petty enough to say no, he can't get a ring after he's sweated and bled for your team.
That would take him down a few stripes in my book.
Do you remember the year that Wade was in Chicago because he couldn't come to an agreement with the Heat? And that was their boy. That's Mr. Miami.
It's a championship, bro. It's a championship. That was, it's a championship. It's once in a lifetime, bro.
But he didn't give Wade the money Wade felt like he deserved.
Couples break up. It's acrimony. Like, I get that. But yeah, this is a championship. Pat, this is totally
Pat
different.
Pat Riley is not giving Deion Waiters a ring. You and me got a better chance of getting a ring from Pat Riley than Deion Waiters.
Well, we won't have to worry about it because the Heat ain't winning. So, but
8-6.
I do have to thank everyone for tuning in to Sixers Talk today, brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works. We will be with you once again bright and early on Monday. I am Danny Pommels for Ben Barry / our co-host, our producer. He does it all. For this podcast and several others, we appreciate you listening.